So we continue this morning in our sermon series on the I am statements of Jesus. And today we're looking at I am the light of the world. Not me, obviously, but Jesus. I just wonder this morning where we were all born. Where were you born? If you were born in Europe, could you just raise your hand? Okay, just can we call out the countries that are represented here? Belgium,
England,
yep, Holland, England, Canada, oh hang on, we'll get to the Americas in a moment, England, yeah, Latvia, anywhere else, Jersey, a country all by itself, yeah, no, neither France nor England fully, but a bit of both. Anyway, if you're born in Africa, put your hand up. Okay, so where in Africa were you born? South Africa. All the hands have gone down. Anywhere else in Africa? If you're born in or around the Indian subcontinent, put your hand up. Where were you born? Mumbai? Agrabah? Hyderabad? Sorry, my hearing's terrible. If you're born in Asia, hands up. Where were you born in Asia?
Malaysia,
welcome.
Vietnam.
Singapore. Malaysia.
China.
David was born in China. Thailand. Anyone else? Were you born in the Americas? Hands up. And where were you born? New York City. Guillermo.
Central America. Dominican Republic.
Canada. Anyone else in the Americas? Anyone born in the South Pacific? That's like if you're born in New Zealand. Everyone's like, I'm not the South Pacific. We're in New Zealand. Anyone born outside of New Zealand in the South Pacific? Any of the islands? No. Have I missed anywhere out? Sorry? Australia. Anyone born in Australia? Brave enough to put your hand up this morning? Every one of us from around the world, no matter where you're born, I was born in Liverpool, which is neither England, but it's not England either. So I don't encourage that kind of heckling from the congregation. But every one of us, no matter where we're born, knows an experience in common. At one point or other, every one of us has been frightened in the dark. Either with good reason or because of our imagination, which is sometimes good reason enough. What's the darkest place you've ever been? Can you think of the darkest place you've ever been? For me, it was caves in the United Kingdom. We walked into the center of these tourist caves with a tourist guide who had a chair leg at the bottom end of his right leg. He looked like a pirate, like you see in the films. He had a chair leg on the bottom of his leg because he'd lost half his leg in an accident, probably caving. And he warned us, I'm about to put the lights out and it will be very dark. And he turned the lights out and I could not see my hand in front of my face like this. I tried. One of the party started crying and he turned the light on and went, you stupid woman. I told you to tell me if anyone would get frightened. He was mean, which had nothing to do with him having one leg. Couldn't see what was going on. It was so dark, so all-encompassing. What's the darkest place you've ever been? Yes, where's the... When you're in the bedroom, it gets really, really dark. Except today with daylight saving, when you're in your bedroom, it'll be harder to fall asleep at night, probably, because it doesn't quite get as dark unless your parents have got really clever curtains. Yeah, where's the darkest place? Waitomo Caves, but that's full of like worms that poop shiny stuff. It's amazing. Pretty poop across the ceilings. Do you think that's one of our greatest tourist attractions? Worms that poop. Isn't that amazing? We'll sell anything to anyone in New Zealand. Lois? Sorry? You had the dining in the dark experience. Wow. So you're in a restaurant where it's completely dark and you can't see what you're eating, and amazing. So I worked with students for 22 years. There were lots of opportunities with students where I would have welcomed not knowing what I was eating, especially when they were, sorry, that's and against any students. But what's the darkest place you've ever been? Darkness and the absence of light. The place of scary dreams and of feeling alone. The Bible speaks to us of darkness as it's at the beginning of the world. And inside the human heart, darkness. The Bible speaks of darkness just after it speaks of the beginning of all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And the next words, and God said, let there be light. God existed before there was ever darkness. God rules over all darkness. One word from God and darkness is shattered. God says, light, and light bursts forth, and there is light. Light shines in the darkness and brings knowledge, understanding, life, warmth, comfort, hope. Light shines onto things and enables us to see. Light brings hope and healing and relief. Light shows us how things truly are. Light is a sign of God's presence. Light is a sign of God's life. 2,000 years ago, the people in and around Jerusalem lived at a difficult time, a dark time. Their country was ruled by a foreign nation. They didn't really know freedom. Freedom to speak or freedom to move was restricted. Their religious lives are full of rules and regulations. If you got the rules wrong, people believed that you were under God's curse. Life was hard. It was a dark time. People thought that there were different ways to bringing light into their darkness. Some thought they could do it by political or military power. They could fight light into life. Others thought they could fight their way out of darkness. Others thought that religion could do it. If you were religious enough, light would come into your life. You follow the right rules and the right regulations, then you could have enough light to break the darkness, or at least have enough light for yourself. Others tried to eat the right things and get light into their lives. Others thought you had to go to special places where light was, special water, or special experiences that someone else had in those places could be yours too. People thought like that 2,000 years ago, and people think like that today. What do you think can bring light into your life, I wonder? Have you thought that maybe we need the right economic or political strategy? The politicians will deliver the light that we need. No? Nobody think that? No. One or two of us, maybe. Maybe we can have the right religious rules, that if you live right, you'll have light in your life. I'm fairly certain some of us have thought that. Is there a place that you can go or food that you can eat that can bring light into your life? An experience that you need that can bring light, that will really change your life? You see, Jesus didn't speak like great military leaders or religious leaders even. He didn't offer a way to find light. He stood in the middle of the darkness and said something completely different. He said, "I am the light of the world." Which is different than if you go here and you do this, or you fight this, or you write this, or you eat this. He is the light of the world. Jesus brings light into a dark room, a dark place. When you bring a light into a dark room, no one says, "What's that?" Because we know it's light in the darkness. It is light that gives light, nothing else. That's what Jesus is saying as he stands in the center of the temple in Jerusalem at the time when people thought there were so many things that could bring them light. He says, "It's me." You don't need an experience. You don't need to go to a place. I've come here. You don't need rules and regulations. You don't need to live in a certain type of way. You don't need to create light. I am the light of the whole world. No matter where you're born, no matter where you come from, whether you're young or old, rich or poor, men or women, no matter what language you speak, it is me that is the light of the world, says Jesus. Have you ever been in a really dark room and someone comes in and switches all the lights on all at once? What do you do? Yep, sit back, close your eyes. Oh, why are you doing that? Have you ever been asleep and someone's come in and turned all the lights on? I don't want to know what you said. Probably wouldn't be for church. But when Jesus comes, he puts light on and people do not like it. Everyone who does evil hates the light, says Jesus. And he's just said, "I'm the light of the world." So what does that mean? That we who do wrong things naturally, first time we hear of Jesus, we don't like him. If you hate Jesus, there's only one explanation that Jesus gives why you might hate him. It's because you're doing evil things. You're doing something wrong, and Jesus says it's stronger. You are doing something evil if you hate Jesus. It's fascinating, isn't it, that people all over the world will believe all kinds of things, but as soon as we speak of the truth of Jesus, as soon as we speak of the light that he brings, people react pretty strongly. I know of someone who, at university, encountered the truth of Jesus for themselves for the first time. And they hated him with a passion. They used to lie awake at night hating Jesus and hating the people that Jesus loved and the people that loved Jesus. Until one night he thought, "This is ridiculous. I've got friends who believe that aliens came down and planted certain crops like corn and gave them to us. I'm not offended by that. It's ridiculous. I believe that there are all kinds of things. Like, I've got friends who believe in mermaids. And I don't hate them. Why do I hate people who love Jesus so much?" "I'm going to find out," he said. And he did. And he ended up loving Jesus and being turned around by the light that he had hated, because he saw that what Jesus did was bring light into the life, into his life, which showed him that he actually needed Jesus. When people hate Jesus, when people hate us because we love Jesus, in so many ways that should be an encouragement to us. Not in a kind of silly way of, "Oh good, they hate me. I'm doing something right." Because that would just be a bit daft. But it should encourage us that the light of Christ is shining in our lives. Maybe you're here today and deep down inside, although you come here week in, week out, or you're here for the first time today, you wouldn't probably put it like this, but you hate Jesus deep down inside. You don't want him to have rule and reign in your life. You actually don't want his light. You want to live life as you want it. Comfortable, content, just for you. You don't like Jesus and what he says. You don't like what he says about your inner world or your ambitions, how you think about your family or your money. You don't like what he says about who you should love and what love is all about. If that is you today, you're in good company. There have been lots of people who have hated Jesus over time, who don't like what he says. But even as I say it, you either hate him just a little bit more or that little bit less. But if you hate him a little bit more, stick with me. Because there's not condemnation here, but hope. You only have to ask him in surrender, and there is hope. You see, light doesn't just reveal darkness, it destroys darkness. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. There is hope. Even a little light means that there isn't darkness anymore. During a power cut, has anyone ever experienced a power cut? Just the Krugers experienced a power cut 9 days this last year. Some of us, 24, 48 hours, we live on the edge of heaven, we're told, which means sometimes we have only the heavenly lights to depend on. During a power cut, when you turn on your phone screen or light a candle or turn on a torch, it isn't dark anymore. It might not be as bright as we're used to, but darkness is gone. Light a candle and there is no darkness. It may be a bit dim, but darkness is defeated even by the frailty of a single candle. We change our clocks each year so that we might have more light in our daily patterns. There is more light during winter days and more light in summer so we can enjoy life more. Jesus didn't just change the clocks, he changed the world, that we might have his light in our lives. His light, his truth, his power is life itself. In him was light, and that life is the life of all people. That light is the life of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or understood it in the original. Darkness doesn't understand what light is all about. Do you remember what happened just before Jesus died on the cross? The lights of the world went out. Darkness came. It looked like light had been defeated. But in his death, Jesus swallows up the darkness and takes it to the grave. Jesus buries darkness for good. His light doesn't just expose darkness and evil. It brings hope of change and offers new life by destroying darkness itself. Jesus is the light that brings life into darkness. Light that transforms our brokenness and changes our world. Light that brings hope into hopelessness. Light that says slavery is evil, that murder is wrong, that abuse is wicked, that lies will be exposed. Light that offers healing to the broken. Light that brings release to those who are enslaved to sin. Light that changes everything. That changes you and changes me if we will surrender to the light of the world. Light that shines in our darkness and brings true healing and release and life itself. Life that persists and grows and gets better and greater the longer we get used to it. When I first heard about Jesus, I didn't really like him. I'd been brought up religious. Going to church week in, week out, I was like one of the most religious people I knew. I committed to religion. And at 16, when I was going out with a lass, her mum was a Christian. And she would speak about Jesus in a way that I didn't recognize. She knew Jesus in a way that I couldn't explain. And I hated it. I hated her for having such certainty and hope and love in her life. I hated the way in which she spoke about this God that I said I believed in. I hated it. And I made her miserable as much as I could because I was a nice young man trying to please his girlfriend's mother. Not. I was rude to her. I called her names behind her back. Shamefully. Awfully. Not proud of that. You see, Jesus, his light in her life shone brightly, and I really didn't like it. It made me uncomfortable. He made me uncomfortable. Because I knew that Jesus, as she spoke about him, was a Jesus who laid claim on every single area of my life. And I wanted control of my life. I didn't want anyone telling me how to live or how to think or what to do or what to believe. I just didn't like Jesus. I knew I lived in darkness. I wonder if you're like that today. But Jesus shone his light into my life and continues to do so to this day. All of a sudden, and at a complete surprise to me, I was overwhelmed by the love of God, the light of Christ, shining into my darkness, putting light everywhere. It was painful and awful and difficult. It meant I had to lose an awful lot of stuff that I was holding on to. I had to get rid of the past and release to him the light of life, the light of the world. All that I was holding on to, my lies, my life. I wonder if you know that experience. His truth set me free and sets me free still. His truth gave me power and peace and love and life and hope and does to this very day and will until my dying day and on beyond through endless ages that are to come. You see, there's no point simply in seeing the attractiveness of light or the power of light, but not having it in your own life. What good is a light, Jesus says, if you put it under a basket? What good is light if you hide it away so its light cannot go anywhere? I am the light of the world, says Jesus, to illumine all of life. Have you come and asked Jesus to be your light, the light of your world, in your life? To turn your life upside down and inside out, not to simply make it slightly better, but to give you life on his terms, not yours. To surrender your life to him, so that his light might give you life and shine in your life, whether you are young or old, rich or poor, clever or not, attractive to this world or reviled in this world, have you come to know the light of Christ, which is eternal life itself? You only have to ask that he might shine in your world. Jesus stood in a temple 2,000 years ago and said words that make a claim on your life and my life today. Words that echo down the ages and across the cultures that embrace all of us. We sung it in the song, before our God we are undone. And now in Jesus we may come. Rank and status have all gone. For we in Christ are one. We come to the communion table this morning. I don't know whether you've had a brilliant week or, like Sandra, an average one or below average one, or you've had the worst week of your life. We are coming to take communion and we are trusting in this. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If you feel that you are living in darkness of your own making or of the circumstances around you, come to the light of the world this morning and ask that he might shine and transform where you are. Paul, another apostle of Jesus, says this: "For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Maybe you do not know that experience, that truth of Jesus having taken you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. This morning is an opportunity for you to turn to him who is the light of the world and to ask him to shine in your life in a way that completely transforms who you are and where you're at, to give you eternal life.